Read from verse 13 to 19. For from the least of the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they say, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster among this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words, and as for my law, they have rejected it.
Talk about attitudes towards the hearing of God's word. Very thankful for this morning's sermon. Brother Heppner led us in a very good study of the silence of the scriptures and has to do with the subject of Bible authority. And I appreciate that very much. The elders do a good job of commending my lessons, so I'll commend theirs. That was an excellent sermon this morning. Glad I got to hear it. My family got to hear it, that all of us were able to hear it. Our gospel meeting will be here before we know it, starting next Sunday and running through that following week. We've made preparations. We've got a meal list hung up and filled out. We've been praying for this effort. We've taken flyers and handed them out and mailed them out. We need to continue to do so, but the work of supporting the meeting with our attendance and with our encouragement and with continued invitations, that will start this next Lord's Day. So let's be praying for Keith and Rita. They'll have safe travel and good health while they're here, and pray for this gospel effort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. First Thessalonians 2 verse 13. Paul says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Paul had been to Thessalonica and had preached the gospel to them. And then now, just a short time later, he's away from them and writes to them, and he says, I've heard from people who have been to you, and they have told me of your zeal and of your faith, and I'm grateful for that. And here in this verse, he talks about the manner in which they received God's word. They received Paul's preaching not as a philosophy of that day, not as an opinion, not as one of several different ideas to take or to borrow from, but they understood that they were hearing the word of God. The words of the apostles, whether they were spoken orally or written down in the scriptures that we have as the New Testament today, are the word of God. And the text says that the word works effectively in those of us who will hear. That is, those of us who will receive it in a proper manner. The Thessalonians perceived it as such. They understood it was the word of God, and they welcomed it, and they received it properly, and thus they benefited from it. They saw that God's word was an absolute standard of truth, the revelation of God's mercy and God's grace to fallen man, that it has the power to work mightily and effectively in those who believe it, welcome it, and receive it, that it has the power to remove sin from our lives, to change our lives by building godly character with godly standards and godly habits. Now that's how the Thessalonians received the word of God, and that's what the word of God did for them. How about me? And how about you? I look forward to our gospel meetings here at Knollwood, because it's during that week I get to join you in the pew. And I get to listen for a change. I get to be on your side of the pulpit for a change. And so I need to remind myself how to listen to God's word. And a reminder for me might also help others. And so I thought, with our meeting starting next week, this would be a good time for us to consider just how it is we are to receive God's word and what is the proper attitude to have towards the hearing of God's word. I'll tell you what the proper attitude is not. And that's the fellow that we've got right here. And unfortunately, from time to time, that's the joke and it's the reality that the hearing of God's word is boring. And I hope that that's not the case with any of us. We need to understand that the attitude with which we receive the word of God has everything to do with how we will benefit from the preaching of God's word, and thus how we will stand before God, whether or not we will be in fellowship with Him. The Bible records many different kinds of attitudes that people had as they were receiving God's word. So I want us to go through for a few moments this afternoon. I want us to consider some attitudes we should not have in hearing God's word. Most of these, interestingly enough, are going to come from the Old Testament. The first one is from the text that Brother Ezra read for us just a few moments ago, and that is from Jeremiah chapter 6. If you turn back to that passage, I want to look at it again, and I want to bring out some observations here. Jeremiah at chapter 6. The prophets were sent to the people of God by God because so often they needed to repent. They'd gotten astray, they'd gotten away from God, and they needed to be called back. And that's what the prophets so often were sent to do. Here in Jeremiah's day, the prophet Jeremiah had been sent to preach unto the people of God and to call them back unto him, because the preachers who were going to them, those who were preaching God's word to them, were not telling them the truth. And they were not telling them what they really needed to hear. Back in our text, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14 says, They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's the kind of message they wanted to hear. God's people at that time wanted to hear that everything was going right, that they are God's covenant people, and everything was fine. Peace, peace. But there was no peace. God's wrath was just a short moment away. To hear these false prophets, to hear these priests, were simply telling the people what they wanted to hear. And when it came to their sin, when it came to their sinful behavior, verse 15, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No! They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Why were they unashamed? Why were they so brazen to embrace sin and to engage in sin? Because no one had the courage to stand before them and tell them the truth of God's word. That what they were doing was wrong. What they were doing was sinful. And so they gave themselves to doing evil to the point they weren't even ashamed to do it. They weren't even ashamed to commit sin. I've encountered brethren who have said, yes, I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do what I want to do. No shame, no reluctance, none at all. Is that our attitude towards the hearing of God's word? Now look at the plea that's made to them in verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. Isn't that message so much like what we've been reading in the seven letters to the churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3? Remember what you had at first. This morning, what was told to the church at Sardis. Remember the way it was in the beginning. The church in Ephesus, they were told to remember the way it was. Here they're told, seek the old path. You've wandered from the truth. You need to come back to the truth. That's the way you need to walk in so that you can find rest for your soul. But look at the very end of verse 16. But they said, we will not walk in it. Is that my attitude? When I hear the Word of God being preached, and I see sin in my life being condemned, and I hear the call to repentance, and I know that that's what I need to do, and I defiantly cross my hands and say, no, I'm not going to go where God wants me to go. I'm not going to do what God tells me to do. And then walk out of the building as if everything's okay. A shameless attitude towards my sin. A shameless attitude towards my rebellion. Verse 17, also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Is that my attitude towards the hearing of God's word? Say whatever you want to, preacher, but I'm going to do what I want to do. Do I have a shameless, rebellious attitude towards God's word? Second, go to the book of Ezekiel at chapter 2. If Jeremiah thought that he had it rough, well, Ezekiel had it rough as well. Ezekiel was called upon to prophesy to the people of God while they were in captivity, while they were in the midst of their punishment. And they're being punished by God because of their sin. And apparently it took them a while to learn. It took them a while to learn why it was they were being punished. Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. And he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you also shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear, whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, or be dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Prophet, here's being told, here's what you're going to do, and here's what you're going to do. Hey, here are the people that you're going to do it among. And what a way for this man Ezekiel to find out this is what he's got to do. He's got to go work with people who have already proven their rebellion against God to the point that they're in captivity. And God says, they're a rebellious house. But you're going to go, and you're going to tell them what I tell you to tell them. He needed to preach, because they needed to hear it. Now in verse 5, it says, as for them, whether they hear, whether they refuse, their rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. Tell you what, when the truth is taught, these people, they may not listen. But when judgment comes, they're going to know that they've heard the truth. And that's the job of a preacher, is to simply preach the truth. A preacher can't control whether or not someone responds in obedience to his message. But when it's all said and done, the preacher has fulfilled his responsibility if the people have heard the word of God. And that's what the preacher is to do, to preach the word of God. And what you and I have to do is make sure that we respond properly and that we receive the truth. Verse 6 is the verse I want us to focus on. Look at how they're going to respond to Ezekiel's work. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Do not be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their words. What are their words going to be like briars and thorns, like scorpions? Do not be afraid of their words, nor dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. What's this attitude towards gospel preaching? We're rejecting the preacher, and we're going to let the messenger know with our words and with our looks. One of the advantages, disadvantages, however you want to look at it, of starting out as a very young man preaching the gospel is you get to experience the looks and the words. As you get a few years on you, fewer and fewer people are willing to pull you aside and let you have it like they did when you were in your 20s. But I've been dragged out to the woodshed plenty of times. People from time to time, they'll turn themselves in to me. They'll tell on themselves and say, "I'm sorry I wasn't looking at you and paying attention while you were preaching the sermon." And I have to tell them, "Listen, don't tell on yourself because I don't see you." I quit looking directly at people while I'm preaching a long time ago because I didn't like the looks that I was getting back. When I would preach plainly on things like divorce and remarriage and the one true church and that we've got to forgive one another, the looks, the phrase "looks that kill," I would have been shot out of the pulpit any number of times. And the words, the things that would be said to a gospel preacher, many of you here probably can't even imagine some of the things that people have said to me in church buildings after I finished preaching the gospel. But hey, being on the receiving end is one thing. I'd better make sure that I'm never on the giving end of nonsense like that. When I'm hearing God's word being preached and it cuts my heart and it challenges sin that is in my life, or it challenges the way that I think about things, I'd better never take it out on the messenger. If I've got a problem with this book, I'll take it up with the author, not with the messenger. We need to make sure we've got the right attitude towards hearing God's word. I asked a gospel preacher one time, before I started preaching full time, I asked him for some advice. And he said, "I look at my work, my week-to-week work as a gospel preacher, like a mother preparing food for a family. Sometimes you got to have the vegetables. Sometimes you've got to eat the food that isn't necessarily fun to eat. But every once in a while, you got to have dessert. You got to have something sweet." And the point he was making, there needs to be balance in the pulpit. And I've tried to live by that. I've tried to go by that. But, you know, sometimes we've got to get into the meat of the word. And sometimes we've got to chew on the broccoli for a while. And it's not always as pleasant as talking and singing about heaven. But when we're going through times like that and studies like that, I've got to make sure, I've got to be careful that I've got the proper attitude towards hearing God's word, and I'm not responding with harsh words and with evil looks, but instead I've got a good and honest heart, open and receptive to the word of God. What's interesting, that a little later on in the same book, in the book of Ezekiel, God warns about a completely different attitude that his people would have towards his prophet. Maybe some time has gone by and the prophet's learned a little bit differently about how to deliver his message. Now, as we're going to Ezekiel chapter 33, I want to remind you what the Lord told Ezekiel in chapter 2 and at verse 8. He said, "Don't be afraid of them. Don't be intimidated by them. Don't alter your message to please the crowd. Whatever I put in your mouth, you eat it." And the idea there is, whatever message I give you, that's what you present. That's what you give. You don't preach to please the crowds. You preach the word of God. Whether they hear, whether they obey, whether they don't, that's up to them. But you do what I've called you to do. Now in Ezekiel chapter 33, like I said, they've kind of come all the way around it, and they've got a different view towards Ezekiel's preaching, but it's just as wrong as before. Ezekiel 33, verses 30 through 32. "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.' So they come to you as my people do. They set before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them." Oh, you've got to come and you've got to hear this preacher. You've got to listen to the way he preaches. He just preaches so well. And they come and they listen to the preaching. And, oh, that's great. And they don't listen to a word that's said. They listen to gospel preaching like one would listen to a talented singer, like one would listen to a song. It's entertainment. And that's all it is to them. And he says, these are my people, and they'll come and they'll sit before you and they'll act excited about what you have to say and about hearing what you had to share with them. But don't be deceived. They're just listening to you like they'd listen to someone singing a song. It's not making any impact on them because they're not doing what you say to do. Is that my attitude towards gospel preaching? Go and attend a gospel meeting and listen to the fellow preach and get out to the car and tell my family he can't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. Or not even go to the meeting because I've heard him preach before and I don't like the way that he preaches. No. What has he said? Is he preaching the truth? Because if it's the truth of God's word, I need to hear it. And I need to apply it to my life. And if I'm excited about him because he's a talented speaker and he can hold my attention and he could read out of the phone book and I'd go and I'd listen to him, I'm going for the wrong reason. I'm going for the wrong reason. It's great that we've got men who want to give themselves to preaching the gospel, whether it be on a full-time basis or filling in whenever they can. We thank God for men who are willing and able to do that. And we're thankful to God that some of these men actually have some talent to go along with that desire. And when you can marry the two together, the desire to preach and the ability to preach, that's a great blessing. That's a great talent there. But it's the Word of God that builds us up. It's the Word of God that edifies us. It's the Word of God that works mightily in the hearts of those who believe. The power is not in the speaker. The power is in the Word of God. And let's be careful that we are not putting our preachers up on pedestals. And we are not giving them more honor than they deserve. Because I think most of us have been in the church long enough to see some of these great men fall from grace. And the higher we put them up on a pedestal, the harder the impact is felt when they fall. The power is in the Word of God. And let's appreciate the Word and not be entertained by gospel preaching. Is that my attitude? I've got to be careful. I've got to make sure I've got the right attitude towards the preaching of God's Word. Let's turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea was called upon to prophesy to the children of Israel. They were falling away from God's people. Hosea would have prophesied at an earlier time than Jeremiah and Ezekiel. This is at a time when they were beginning to drift away, and God is trying to call them back. In fact, Hosea is written to the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom, which is gone by the time of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. So this predates the work that's done by Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And one thing I like about the book of Hosea, it's got a handful of little verses you just don't forget. And this is one of them. Hosea chapter 6, and verse 4. Hosea chapter 6 and at verse 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew goes away. Ephraim, the northern kingdom, Judah, the southern kingdom, they were unfaithful as a rule. But whenever God would send them a prophet, and whenever God would call them to repent, and they did repent, they would come back, but their faithfulness simply would not last. It was temporary. God says, it's like the morning dew. It's like the morning cloud. It's like the early dew. You know, you wake up in the morning and there's fog everywhere. And sometimes it's so thick you can't even see yourself. I remember when I was a little boy, my sister and I, we got up and we rode the school bus. We're always the first ones on and the last ones off. We got more education than everybody else did because we had to be gone from the house longer to get it. I'm going to stand by that. But on these foggy mornings, see, we could see about a mile away, we could see the bus coming. And we'd got it figured out because it's got the headlights and it's got the little lights on top. So we could see, we knew when the bus was coming, so we could run down to the road and we could meet the bus. But on those foggy mornings, we didn't have the luxury of sitting in the house and looking out the window. We had to be down at the side of the road. And sometimes we didn't know the bus was coming until it came around the corner and just came right up upon us. The fog was so thick. But you know the morning fog, what happens? By mid-morning, by noon, it's gone. You'd never know it was there. And that's the way Israel's faithfulness was. When they heard the word of God, they'd repent, they'd make things right for just about that long, and then they'd go right back to doing what they were doing. Is that me? Is that my attitude towards God's word? Is it such that we need a gospel meeting about every other week so I can get pulled back into the fray, get pulled right back into where I need to be? When I hear God's word and I hear sin in my life condemned, and it brings me to repentance, do I truly repent and come back to the Lord? Or is it like a revolving door? What's my attitude towards the word of God? Am I going to allow it to work mightily in me and bring about life-changing repentance? Or is my faithfulness going to be like the fog in the morning? It's there, and then it's gone. What's my attitude towards the hearing of God's word? And then finally, let's go to the New Testament. In the book of Acts at chapter 22, the Apostle Paul has been rescued by a Roman garrison because the Jews found Paul in the temple and they drug him out and they began to beat him to death. And his life is spared only because the Romans went and took him into custody, and they took him up the steps to take him into the garrison, and he asked permission to turn around and address the angry crowd of Jews that was there. And so the Roman commander gave him permission to do so, and Paul begins to preach to them, and he talks about his conversion. He talks about why it is that he has started preaching the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles. Let's start reading verse 17. Here Paul is preaching to these Jews. He says, "Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and I saw him saying to me, 'Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me.' So I said, 'Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, "Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles."'" Now notice, verse 22, "And they listened to him until this word. And then they raised their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he's not fit to live.' Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the commander of the barracks came and took Paul back inside." Look at what verse 22 says. They were willing to listen to Paul until he said the wrong word. When they heard him say Gentiles, it was over. That's all they were going to hear. And they began to scream. And they began to shout, "Away with such a fellow from the face of the earth. He's not fit to live. You just give him back to us and we'll finish the job. He's not fit to live." And they went beyond that. They tore their clothes and they threw dust in the air, threw dirt in the air. Can you imagine grown men acting like this? Because they heard the word Gentile. But I've known brethren who are just like these Jews. They've got their pet subjects. They've got their sacred cows that you're not allowed to touch. And they've got your back, and they'll support you until you preach on divorce and remarriage. And then it's all over. It's all over. Or until you preach on the one true church. Because they've got family members and denominations, and there's just no way that they could be lost. And I'm not going to support that kind of preaching. Or until you talk about drugs and alcohol and tobacco. Preacher, haven't you heard of moderation? Or till we hear the word modest. Click. Not going to listen anymore. Not going to hear that anymore. Or on down the list we can go. Any number of things, and you can just see the countenance on someone's face. Nope. Not going to hear it anymore. I've even had people get up and walk out while I've been preaching on certain subjects. Is that my attitude? Is there anything at all in this book that's off limits to me that I don't want to hear? Again, I'd better take it up with the author of the book. Because this is the word that's going to judge me on the last day. And if I refuse to listen to any of it, and I refuse to accept and follow any of it, I'm going to be in want, standing before my Creator and my Judge. Is that me? Am I willing to listen to Keith Greer preach on anything except this? Or Steve Montz, who's coming this fall? Or Zach Lee, who was here this last fall? Or anyone else? I'll listen, but I'm not going to listen to that. No, if it's in the Word of God, it's free game. And let me tell you, by the way, the quickest way to get a preacher to preach on something is tell him, don't ever preach on that. And you'll likely get a sermon on it. Here we look at these negative attitudes, but we can learn some positives if we'll kind of turn them around. I don't need to have a rebellious attitude towards God's Word. I want to walk in the old paths. I want to go back to what was taught at the very beginning. I want to be right with God. I don't need to respond with harsh words and evil looks. I want to encourage those who are preaching the truth and hold up their hands. I don't listen to gospel preaching as entertainment. I need to listen to the Word of God and be thankful for those men who will give their time and their opportunities and will use their talents to preach God's Word. My faithfulness had better not be like a fog. I had better stay there where the Lord calls me to be through His Word. And I don't need to listen up to a word. I need to listen to all of the Word of God. But if we could look at one verse to show us in a positive way what my attitude towards the receiving of God's Word should be, the proper attitude, I believe it's found in James 1, verses 21 and 22. This is what you and I need to be doing all next week as the gospel meeting's going on and for the rest of our lives as we're hearing God's Word being preached. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. That is, we need to get sin out of our thoughts, out of our minds, out of our heart, out of our life. Get all of that aside. And receive with meekness the implanted Word. You receive the Word of God. You don't sit there and let it go through one ear and out the other. You receive it. And you receive it with meekness. What is meekness? Meekness is that quality that's going to allow God's Word to do what it needs to do. Meekness. You, here I am, Lord. I am the lump of clay. You mold me the way that I need to be. That's meekness. I receive with meekness the implanted Word. Remember the parable of the sower? The seed is the Word of God. God's Word is a seed. I need to allow it to find root in my heart and to grow up and to produce a fruit. Notice the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. We're not talking about the weather, and we're not talking about how bad the Reds are going to do this year. I've already heard enough of that. And we're not here talking about this or talking about that. We're talking about going to heaven. We're talking about the saving of our souls. That's the most important thing we could be talking about. But, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. When I hear it and I know it's the truth, the word of God, I need to receive it into my heart with a mind to do what it tells me to do. Because if I don't, it's just lying out there on the wayside ground, and Satan comes and snatches it away, and it doesn't do anyone any good. Now, that's the attitude I need to have towards the hearing of God's word. It's the attitude all of us need to have towards the hearing of God's word. And we're going to be blessed with a great opportunity next week to listen to God's word being preached to us. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, you need to think about coming to the Lord through His Word. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Get your songbooks out. Let's get ready to extend the invitation. Think about your standing before God. Have you received His Word? Have you obeyed it? Have you come to Him on His terms? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? If so, you need to repent of your sins, to confess your faith, and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. You want to receive God's Word. That's what you're going to do. You need to be faithful. You need to serve the Lord faithfully from that moment on. As a Christian, if you erred and wandered away from the truth, you need to come back to Him. You need to come back in repentance. Not disdaining what you've heard. Not rejecting the Word of God with angry looks or rebellion. I'm not going to do it. No, you need to come to the Lord in repentance and receive the forgiveness of your sins and come back into fellowship with God. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be made known by coming forward as together we stand and sing.